ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 50. Krishna establishes Dwarka, Texts 7 and 8. So we will recite Texts 7 together. Hanishyami balam hetat.
Hanishyami balam hetat.
Hanishyami balam hetat.
Hanishyami balam hetat.
Bhuvi bharam samahitam.
Bhuvi bharam samahitam.
Bhuvi bharam samahitam.
Bhuvi bharam samahitam.
Magadena samanitam. Magadena samanitam.
Magadena samanitam.
Vashanam savabhubhujam.
Vashanam savabhubhujam.
Vashanam savabhubhujam.
Vashanam savabhubhujam.
Hanishyami balam hetat.
Hanishyami balam hetat.
Bhuvi bharam samahitam.
Bhuvi bharam samahitam.
Magadena samanitam.
Magadena samanitam.
Vashanam savabhubhujam.
Vashanam savabhubhujam.
Akshahini visankhyatam bhatta swarata kunjarai magadastu nahantavya bhuyakata balojamam. Hanishyami. I will kill. Balam, army.
He
certainly.
Etat,
this.
Bhuvi,
upon the earth.
Bharam,
a burden.
Samahitam,
collected.
Magadena,
by the king of Magadha.
Jarasandha.
Samanitam,
brought together.
Vashyanam,
subservient.
Sava,
all.
Bhubhujam,
of the kings.
Akshahinibhi,
in Akshahinis.
Sankhyatam,
counted.
Bhata,
consisting
of foot soldiers.
Ashwa,
horses.
Rata,
chariots.
Kunjarai,
and elephants.
Magadha,
Jarasandha.
Two,
however.
Nahantavya,
should not be killed.
Bhuya,
again.
Kata,
he will make.
Bala,
to collect.
An army.
Ujjamam,
the endeavor.
Translation.
The Supreme Lord taught,
since it is such a burden on the earth,
I will destroy Jarasandha's army consisting of Akshahinis,
of foot soldiers,
horses, chariots and elephants,
which the king of Magadha has assembled from all subservient kings
and brought together here.
But Jarasandha himself should not be killed,
since in the future he will certainly assemble another army.
Purport.
After due consideration, Lord Krishna decided that since he had descended to the earth to destroy the demons, and since Jarasandha was so enthusiastic to bring all the demons to the Lord's front door, it was definitely more efficient to keep Jarasandha alive and busy.
Ammagyana timranda syagananjana salakaya shaksunitam yana tasmai shigrame namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivisesa Sanyavadi Vasichare Shatane.
So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Paritranaya Sadhanam Vina Shaya Shaduskritam Sambhavami Yuge Yuge.
No.
Nama Samastapanathaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge.
That Krishna will come to deliver his devotees to Vinashaya, to destroy the miscreants, and to re-establish the principles of religion. For these purposes, Krishna will come millennium after millennium. Krishna's coming is more punctual than the Indian train system. I heard that the Indian train system is very punctual. It's very punctual. So, Krishna come, and as we read in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the Mother Earth was overburdened by the military arrangements on the planet. So, being overburdened and distressed, she went to Lord Brahma, appealed to him for help. And Lord Brahma, together with Bhumi, Mother Earth, and the demigods, they went to Svetadeva. After all, the demigods, they are the administrator of the universe. They are administrating the affairs of the universe on behalf of Vishnu. So although Vishnu is the maintainer of everything, it's not that he's required. He's what we call the... You have macro management and micro management. So he has all his managers. He's the CEO. You don't have to do all the detailed management. So when the managers have problems, they approach him. They went to Svetadeva, sat on the bank of the ocean of milk, and pray, offer their Purusha Shukta prayers for the glorification of Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu informed them, he said, "Yes, I will descend." He told the demigods, "Now you all appear in the dynasty of the Yadus, and soon enough I will appear to relieve the burden." So therefore we find here in the yesterday's verse and today's verse that Jarasandha has assembled an army outside to attack Mathura, because his daughters, two daughters, were married to Kamsa, and when Kamsa was killed by Krishna, his two daughters were very distressed and they went to see the father. So the father came with a huge army. In previous time, different provinces, they have a dominant king, and there are so many subservient kings. These subservient kings, they will pay tax to the main king. And sometimes in war, they will also supply the army. So it's stated in the verse today here, the king of Magadha, Jarasandha, has assembled an army from all the different subservient kings, brought them together. So Krishna was considering what were the different options. So this is intelligent. Stated in the verse yesterday. He was considering his suitable response according to time, place and circumstances. Kala Patradesha. There is different response according to the time, different response according to place, and different response according to circumstances. This is proper intelligence. So he was considering, what should I do? Should I kill Jarasandha and take his army? Or should I kill Jarasandha and his army? Or should I just kill his army and let Jarasandha go? So in today's verse, Krishna decided, after due consideration, he said, "Yes, I'll just kill the army and let Jarasandha go. Because soon enough, he will come back with another army." After all, you see, this is someone intelligent. He's very fixed, a disciplined also, in what his mission is. Krishna came to relieve the burden on Mother Earth, to get rid of all this heavy burden of the military arrangement. So he came with a purpose. So he thought, okay, we'll let Jarasandha go. He'll come back with another army. He'll kill the army. And he'll go back and come back with another army. He said, in this way, I don't have to go out. He will bring the army to my doorstep.
in this way help me to fulfill my mission here. So Jarasandha actually did that. He attacked Mathura Krishna 17 times. Each time he came with a huge army. And then there was an 18th time actually. Then he came with another demon, two-pronged attack. So this is called, in Sanskrit, called Shreya and Priya. Priya is something that is very, very dear. Immediate sense gratification. Immediate gratification. And Shreya means long term. Nowadays people are trained to achieve prayer. That's why they have all this fast everything. Fast food is a big business. All these McDonald's and Kentucky and all these different outlets. Fast. Immediate gratification. People cannot wait anymore.
Fast food.
They just want immediate gratification. You tell them, even children, they even have a song. I want it now, baby. I don't know the rest of it. I only know this song, this line. I want it now. I don't want to wait. Prayer. But what people do not understand that is that while they're immediately trying to satisfy the senses, they have forgotten what the goal of life is. As far as Lord Rishabh Dev, he says in the 5th canto, Nunam Pramatta Guru Devikan Ya Indriya Prithaya Aprinoti Nasadu Manye Yat Atmanoyam Asanati Kleshada Ashadeya. So actually, the human form of life is meant for self-realization. But the living entity, having forgotten that, they engage in sense gratification. And they do not understand that actually the miseries that they are feeling, that they are experiencing now in this present life, in this body, is a result of their past activities. Because of their past activities, they have been awarded this body and its concomitant miseries. So by engaging in sense gratification, trying to satisfy the body, and especially engaging in sinful activities, they are preparing themselves for another body which is again full of miseries. So in this way, it becomes perpetual. So actually, sense gratification is the result of ignorance. Ignorant of the fact that the spirit soul is different than the body. And that the miseries or whatever miseries we are suffering at this present moment is due to past karma. And to become free from this misery is not trying to engage in activities to try to satisfy the senses. Again, it was stated, Prithya Aprinoti. Pritha. It's again Pritha, something that is dear. Dear to us now. Dear to the senses. So sense gratification is basically what is activities that is dear to our senses. Immediate gratification. Which entangle us. One become more and more entangled in the activities of sense gratification. So in this way, the living entity get caught in this perpetual cycle. Due to past activities, they find themselves in a certain situation, and they think that in order to become free from my present situation of miseries, I have to engage in further sense gratification, which again entangled them into further reaction. This is called the stringent law of nature. So there's Shreya and Priya. Any intelligent man understands that yes, Priya may be there, but Shreya is for long-term benefit. I remember when I was doing my final year in high school. In the year 10,
No, 11, you have 11, 12, right? The final VC years. So in year 11, previous year we have an examination. So year 11, I thought this is honeymoon year. I already had my examination last year, now I had my honeymoon year. I was not studying. So I ended up in the last class on the final year. And in the last couple of months before the exam, then it was burning the midnight oil. I have my schedule, very, very tight schedule. This period I'll be studying this, and the next period, and it was like 8 hours of study every day, just burning the pages. And my friends will come, sometimes they'll come in the evening and say, "Hey, let's go party." And my heart was like, yeah, let's go party. I said, no, I cannot go. I have to study for my exam. So this Shreya, first I was engaged in prayer. Then I got myself into trouble. I had to start thinking. So we all actually were familiar with this Shreyam prayer. And sometimes we do make sacrifices for long-term benefit. That's why, especially when you're studying. Spend so much money studying. Traveling away from home. It's an austerity. It's a sacrifice that one has to go through. Thinking, wow, I'll get a degree and I'll get a better job. Get a good job and be more properly situated in life. So, children, especially when they're young, they do not understand this principle. Children, they have a different understanding of time. They cannot think long. Very difficult for them to think long. They think immediate. What is in front of me? Very difficult. They say, now if you give this up, I will give you something better a few hours later or a few days later. It's very difficult for them to understand the concept. They have to be trained to do that. That's why it's important to train and to understand the principle of Shreya. Otherwise, they just grow up just immediately. I gotta get it. They become like a drug addict. When they get their feeling, they have to have it now. They cannot wait. You cannot tell a drug addict, say, just wait. I'll give you a bigger dose. Wait a few hours. They cannot even wait a few minutes. They just have to have it. So people who are infested with with lust, they cannot wait. They have to have it. They're controlled by lust. And people will go through all kinds of things. They do abominable things just to get the lust, to fulfill their fix. Just like a drug addict. Sometimes they'll steal, they'll rob, they'll sell themselves short. They even kill the loved ones just to get that shot. So it's similar. Living entities are like that. The conditioned souls, when they become infested with lust, they just cannot wait. They do not think about the consequences. That's the problem. People do not think about the consequences. They just act according to the pushing of the senses. Completely dominated by the senses. Bhagavad Gita tells us, higher than the sense object is senses. Higher than senses is mind. Higher than the mind is intelligence. And higher than the intelligence is the soul. But the conditioned soul has everything reversed. They have the sense objects dominating their senses. The sense object is dictating their senses. Then the mind starts meditating on the sense object. Intelligence starts making plans how to enjoy the sense objects. And the soul is completely lost. It's just reversed. Everything is reversed in the material world. After all, the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Everything is upside down. Right? It's like a tree by the bank of the river. Everything is upside down. So it's all out of due to ignorance. People are engaging in activities of sense gratification.
not understanding that this is going to entangle me further. Huh? Whatever miseries I'm feeling now, by engaging in sense gratification to try to fulfill or satisfy the senses, is going to entangle me more. And I'm going to suffer even more in the future. So this is Shriya. So for a devotee, he has to use his intelligence to understand. Because at every moment in life, we have options. Although people, what I've observed is mostly people do not think. Right? They do not think deep enough. They just act. They just propel to act. They do not think enough. Therefore, the language that they use also is as if they have no choice. Sometimes you ask people, do they say, no, I cannot, I have to do this. I have to do that. I must do this, I must do that. And there's no question of I have to or I must. You don't have to. There is always a choice. It's just that we feel that we have to. So when we use the language of I have or I must, it's as if we have no free, no independence, that we have no free choice. We have surrendered our free choice to circumstances. And that's the nature of the material world. People act as if there are no free choices. Even all those so-called motivation guru, they teach about, yes, you cannot say, I must, I have, you have choices. But what are their choices? The choices is basically to just improve their material existence. So it's not quite much of a choice. The thing is that even though they think, I have a choice to improve my material circumstances, but they do not think that actually I have a choice to get out of this material entanglement. They think that this is it. So people go about in life thinking they have no choices. They think, just like I had a very interesting conversation with my grandmother many years back. He used to be just on to me, like, when I come and visit, he said, you're not eating meat, and there's no nutrition, and on and on. So one time I was just telling her, I said, you know, the pig you're eating, they also have a father and mother. And they also have a grandmother. So when you kill this pig, what do you think the grandmother would think and feel? And she was defeated, but she cannot admit it. Then she said, anyway, we are trained to eat meat from birth, you know, so we have no other choice. This is what we are trained to do. And that was the end of the conversation. It's not much of an argument, actually, but just like conversation closed. This is the way we are. And that's the way it's going to be. It's self-defeat. Self-defeat. So sometimes people, they take up religion. They feel some guilt. They take up religion. But they'll take up a religion whereby they don't have to change anything. Yes, we are by nature, we're weak. God knows that we're weak. He will forgive us. We just have to accept and believe Him. And we can just continue with what we are doing. Just try to be good. Try to be nice and try to be good to people. Try to be kind and help others and do some charity work and so on. But no change in the lifestyle. Business as usual. So same thing, they're just cheating themselves. It's like the proverbial rabbit being chased by a predator. It's a rabbit, right? No, it's not rabbit. What do you call it? Then they dig a hole in the ground, stick their head inside. Ostrich. Stick their head into the
Ram said, "Oh, now I'm safe. You know? Now he's gone. I cannot see, so he's not there." So in this way, again, people are cheating themselves. Selling themselves short by taking up so-called religious life, so-called spiritual path. Especially nowadays, there's so many New Age stuff going on. It's amazing. I think if you just pick up some magazine or some one of these New Age magazines and look into it, so many different things they're promoting in this magazine, that things you never even heard of, that never exist. I remember just like 10, 15 years back, I just happened to come across one of these magazines promoted in Copenhagen, promoting this different, and I was surprised, I was shocked. There's so many different paths that people are promoting. This and that, and this psychology and that psychology, and this treatment, that treatment, and so on. And people think, now I'm okay. I'm following this path, so I'm very spiritual. Remember I used to tell you that we meet people who come and say, "Yeah, I'm very spiritual." I say, "Yeah, what do you do?" I say, "Yeah, I do some meditation. I live in the countryside. I grow my own marijuana. And by the way, it's organic." So it's very spiritual because it's organic. I eat only organic food, so I'm very spiritual. So it's amazing especially when you are preaching, you meet people every day. It's really amazing how people sell themselves short and just cover their eyes. "Now everything is okay, I don't see." And then of course sometimes they get disturbed when the Hare Krishna come along and try to force them, take away the hand, "Hey, shine the torchlight, look, it is not what you think it is. Everything is not okay." And people don't like that. They like all this lovey-dovey, and you know, "You are nice, I'm nice. You are okay, I'm okay. We take care of one another. We watch out for one another. All lovey-dovey. I love you, you love me. God love you, you love God." People love that. And that's why this kind of movement is spread like wildfire. Spread like wildfire. Nobody had to tell them really what to do. Sometimes you ask, why? Why is Krishna consciousness the greatest philosophy? Such wonderful philosophy. Why people are just like, you know, when you tell them, they're just like, "What are you talking about? Get out of my face." They can't relate. Why is that? That's explained actually one of the first instructions from Sukadeva Goswami gave to Maharaj Parikshit. It's because people attach. They're so attached to their body. They're so attached to the extension of the body in the family, society, bank balance, their paraphernalia, their car, their house, their property. So many things they get attached to, and they become mad. People become mad. Like I was quoting this verse from Lord Rishabhdev, "Nunam pramatta." One become mad. When one become attached to sense gratification, become mad. And in the state of madness, one do not really know what is reality. He lose touch with what is reality. His whole perception in life become distorted. Sometimes they like to call us distorted. Remember in many years back, they had this magazine from ISKCON, "Who is Crazy?" Remember that? We printed one magazine called "Who is Crazy?" We distributed a lot of those magazines. Who is actually crazy? One who thinks it's this body, who thinks the goal of life is engaged in sense gratification. They become trapped in this cycle of repeated birth and death. Or one who has higher understanding, higher knowledge, who actually has the means to break free. So they do not understand all these things. That's why they're acting in ignorance.
So a devotee, he acts with his intelligence. That's why this path of Krishna consciousness is sometimes called Buddhi Yoga. Yoga of intelligence. One has to use his intelligence and very clearly understand, not just understand, but very clearly embrace the understanding that what is the goal of life, what is the real goal of life. And this is something that we have to remind ourselves all the time. It's not just one time, yes, I understand now and that's it. Because we are living in the material world and the influence of the most of material nature is very strong. And sometimes one just gets covered and we forget. Whether we forget it momentarily for a few moments, or we forget it for a few days, few hours, few weeks, few months, few years. So it's very important one regularly remind ourselves that what is actually the goal of life? To become Krishna conscious, go back home back to Godhead. One has to be very fixed in the understanding, completely embrace it. And then from that, we can determine what is Shreya and what is Priya. And we can act according to the time, place, circumstances. Because at every moment, the circumstances we face, the place we are in, is different. And options are always different. We always have options. It's not that as devotees we do not have options. We do have options. I think I mentioned it before. When I was in Malaysia, sometimes we meet with some business associate and we had to go out sometimes and say, "Oh, I thought you cannot eat this. I thought you cannot eat meat." I said, "Who told you I cannot eat meat?" And they were like shocked. I said, "But I thought you are a vegetarian." I said, "Yes, I'm a vegetarian." "So vegetarian cannot eat meat?" I said, "Yes, I can." And they get completely confused. I say, "I can if I want, but I don't want to." I'm a vegetarian. I decided I'm just going to have a vegetarian diet. I can go out and eat meat if I want to, but I do not want to. You see the power there? That we are actually taking control. That I decide. It's my choice that I'm not eating meat. It's my choice I'm chanting Hare Krishna. It's my choice that I'm waking up in the morning. Nobody has to force me to do that. It's not that I have to. Understand? Because this nature thing, when you feel that I'm forced to, we tend to rebel. Why do I have to do this? That's why sometimes devotees in CrossFit also say, "Oh, I cannot do this day, I cannot come this day." Prabhu, devotional service is free will. You have a free will to serve Krishna. If you decide not to come, there's nothing I can say. You don't want to do it, sir? What can I say? It's free will. I'm not forcing you to do a service. Then immediately the responsibility falls on their shoulder. It's not on my shoulder, it's on your shoulder. You have to make your choice, what you want in life. You want to serve Krishna, or you just want to engage in sense gratification? Nobody is forcing anyone. Krishna does not force us. Krishna is Swaran, so we also are Swaran. We have the same quality as Krishna. We have independence. So again, it's a choice that we make. So we make a choice to become Krishna conscious, to practice Krishna consciousness, and do the things that will help us to become Krishna conscious. So at every moment we make this choice. So every moment we face the circumstances of Shreya and prayer. Sometimes something is very dear to us, but we have to consider, does this help me to become Krishna conscious? Is this going to help me advance in Krishna consciousness? This is the question we ask. We use our intelligence. Yes, if I do this, it's very pleasing. will it help me in my Krishna consciousness? Oh, this seems to be not so pleasing. But will it help me in my Krishna consciousness? It is? Okay, I'll do. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sang in a song, say, whatever austerities I face, or whatever trouble I may face, here it is for the pleasure of Krishna. I embrace it with the greatest joy. So this is a devotee who is committed to the power of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter what the activities are, what he's faced with. He will foster Krishna consciousness. It helps me to please Guru and Krishna. If this activity pleases Guru and Krishna, I embrace it with the greatest joy. This is should be our mood of service. This is how we should approach our Krishna consciousness. Not, oh, this is pleasing. Then. No. It should not be in consideration. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is good and bad in this material world? There's no such thing as good and bad in this material world. He does not help us in our Krishna consciousness. It's all bad. That's the only criteria. That's the only single criteria. Does it please Krishna or not? Does it help me in my Krishna consciousness? It's the only criteria that we judge things, by which we judge things according to time, place, circumstances. It's very simple. In this way, Krishna consciousness is very simple. It's not complicated at all. Even though sometimes we may be faced with some so-called very difficult situation or difficult circumstances, we just ask ourselves, what does Krishna wants me to do? What will please Krishna the most? So here we are, this kind of meditation, Krishna will inspire us from within what to do. Or he will inspire someone to come and tell us what to do. Either way is fine. So, thank you very much. And any questions or comments? Yes?
You said that the senses are driving us crazy.
Not you.
Like
the conditioned souls.
You said loving me, that word.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't believe in God, what will you do then?
Suffer.
You don't think there is God.
Suffer. Just suffer.
When
you suffer enough, then some devil. There are two schools. The school of learning by hearing, or the schools of hard knocks. Right? Some they learn by hearing. Some they learn, they hear, but they will not accept, they have to experience. They learn by experiencing. And some they never learn. In the next instruction, Prabhupada explained these three classes of men. So, yeah.
Especially in this age, people are becoming so crazy because of the society. You go to Hollywood.
It's not because of society. It's
you spend $2 and they show you such movies that you cannot control yourself.
But whose choice is it that you go to these movies? But Hollywood is in LA, okay? You have these movies, $2 movie. There are people who choose to go there, and there are people who choose not to go there.
But it is the government you have to control because they have such big posters.
No. Who elected the government? No, this is, again, there's a term called being proactive and reactive. People who are reactive, they always put the blame on others. It is because of society I'm like this. I'm a product of society. And just like sometimes accuse someone to go to court, and the lawyer will teach them, he say, well, you know, you just bring in your upbringing, you know, I came from a broken home, I get beaten by my father when I was small, and then I developed this violent, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And they get away with murder. So the majority of people, they are reactive. They put the blame on others. They put the blame, I'm in this situation problem because of this. The first step to actually rectify a situation is to admit, to be proactive, that I'm in this situation because of me. I am the cause of my own problem. And that's the difference between a devotee and non-devotee. The devotee, they understand. If I'm in a difficult situation, externally it may seem that this person is the cause of my problem. But actually, I'm suffering now because of my karma. So he tolerated that. It's the same thing from this verse from Lord Rishabhdev. They do not understand that I'm in this situation because of my karma. And again, as you continue engaging in sense gratification, you just become more and more implicated. So you cannot blame the society, you cannot blame the government. You don't like the government, change it. We are also part of the same system. We also live in the same society. So why some chose to be a slave of that society and others choose to, no, I'm not going to be a slave of that society.
Why you are not slave? Because of Srila Prabhupada.
Pardon? Yes.
Because of the knowledge that Prabhupada gave.
Yeah.
He gave only through his phone I came to know that super soul is watching everything. Before that I thought I could do it.
Yeah.
And get away.
That's right.
But now because of Prabhupada knowledge, you know, super soul is watching everything. Each movement we do, if you don't surrender,
yeah. And that's why if you want to things to change, we have to help each one take Prabhupada and his teaching and distribute them to as many people as possible. Someone was telling that I was discussing with someone, was it you, Krishna Sindhu, yesterday? About why, you know, whole world has not become Krishna conscious and all this? Was it? With someone, I can't remember. I said when we were young in the movement, we all have this idea. Krishna consciousness is going to conquer the world. We're going to conquer the world. And that's it. But now, I don't know, maybe just getting older, you know. I'm just thinking, I'm going to try to influence just one person at a time. So if there's so many of us, if each one just influence a few, and a few influence a few, a few influence a few, you see the effect. You see the effect. So the most important thing is each one of us individually, we understand this very strongly. Embrace this concept strongly. I am not this body, I'm a spiritual, eternal son of Krishna. The purpose and goal of my life is to become Krishna conscious, go back home, back to Godhead, and help to bring as many with us as possible. So you can see the powerful effect. Now I start from 10, each one bring more. And this is a principle of multi-level marketing. In the Japtaka Maharaj call it the spiritual multi-level marketing. That's congregational preaching, you know. 10 influence 10, become 100, 100 become 1,000, 1,000 become 10,000. I see the effect. Just each one affecting a few, and each one affecting a few.
Bhakti
Raksha. Bhakti Raksha. Are there any other questions? Well, thank you very much.